Welcome back to Home Design Chat with Nancy, and I am your host, Nancy Hugo. Well, today is March 31st, and it is the third of a series that I am doing with Megan Blau. She is the owner of Blue Copper Designs. Megan, thank you so much for joining me for the third time.
Thank you, Nancy, again for having me.
I'm glad you're not getting tired of talking to me, but you have so much information to share. Our first podcast, and that was about 2 weeks ago, we talked about barrier-free designs in a general way. Megan, what did we talk about? Construction, how to make your whole life easier if you have physical challenges in your residential home, right?
Yeah, we talked about general areas of the home, entrances, hallways, why it's important to consider barrier-free elements. So really just laying the groundwork for the more specific information we're going to talk about today.
Right. And then last week we talked about kitchens, how to make your life in the kitchen easier if you have physical challenges. I think we talked about appliances and countertops and different storage areas. Well, I'm excited about today because we're going to talk about bathrooms. So everything having to do with the bathroom for any challenges. And I do want to specify that it's not just a physical challenge where you can't walk for some reason. It could be that you have seeing problems. Maybe you have some sort of blindness or macular degeneration, whatever. And you have to prepare for the future. Maybe you can't see exactly where your countertops are, so there's things to do for that to help. So everything we talk about in the bathroom is to make life easier, safer, and so that you can feel more independent, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's our goal. So let's start out with showers. Everybody hopefully has one. So I'm going to ask you to chime in about, because you do this all the time, you do barrier-free designs. So what do you mainly look at in the showers to make life easier for your clients?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I look at for showers. First of all, I will say from a space planning perspective, if you only have room for a tub and a small shower or one larger shower, first of all, opt for the larger shower and eliminate the tub. I think a tub, Nancy, I think you've agreed with me on this, but a tub is more of a decorative accent piece.
Good for your plants.
Some people very much prefer baths over showers, but if you can only have one of the two, obviously opt for a shower. So from a space planning perspective, we can start there. So now that we're doing a shower, I would also suggest, if not require, all showers to be curbless, or at least one shower in the home on the first level to have a curbless shower. So there's no lip, there's no threshold, there's nothing to get over. It's completely curbless. So that's my number one recommendation. And we live in Arizona, things are flat, fairly new. And it shouldn't be as hard as sometimes it is. And a lot of the times contractors, plumbers, tile people, they will fight back and say that they can't do a curbless shower because of the post-tension slab, but that is just simply not true. So,
I think you and I have both found over the years that when contractors don't want to do something, they just say, oh, it can't be done.
Yeah.
But we know better. So exactly. Let's talk about actually the draining system in a curbless shower.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that you do need for a curbless shower is a little bit more space or utilizing your space properly. Because the biggest issue is, of course, is going to be keeping the water in the shower. And having a contractor, it's not even really your contractor. I mean, it's really your tile installer. Being able to angle that correctly and know exactly where the plumbing and the drains need to go for that specific shower so that the pitch isn't too steep when you're in the shower, but it also gets all the water there. So there's a lot of different, I would say every shower is different. A lot of the times, like one of the linear drains could work great. Sometimes those don't work well at all because of, you know, the pitch is too steep, like all the reasons that I mentioned before. So that's something for me that, I'm still like learning the best places, like for that from a design standpoint, but I always consult the contractor on like, okay, this is where I'm thinking the drain would go. Does that make sense? Or do we need to move it?
Yeah, exactly. Matter of fact, for the homeowner who's thinking of converting his shower or tub to a shower, try to work with a designer who's experienced in this, and then the designers will work with her team, plumbers, contractors. You don't want to tackle this yourself if you're a do-it-yourselfer, unless you've done this so many times and it works. But typically, you need an experienced person to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to interrupt, but go ahead.
No, so that's the number one, first requirement, I guess, that I have for showers. Make sure that you have a little bit of more space by eliminating a tub if you have to, and then making that shower curbless. And you're going to see a lot of luxury builds are having curbless showers. So it is definitely a benefit. It is an asset. It is just better for everyone. And it looks really cool and it can be achieved. So find the person who feels confident doing that. The second thing, if you're doing a bathroom renovation, especially, this is the time to add the backing for grab bars. So even if you feel like you don't need grab bars now, you can't ever imagine a situation in your life where you would need a grab bar, add the backing for them. That's something you can ask your designer or your contractor to put into their scope of work, so that you're not having to, one, be limited to where you can put your grab bars. So grab bars need to go into studs. Obviously studs are placed and some people don't even know where they are, especially in a shower. So, if you're needing a grab bar in a specific place, but your studs don't line up with that, you're not going to be able to put a grab bar where you need it. And backing for the grab bars makes the entire backing of the shower in the wall behind the tile have wood at a certain height so that you can screw a grab bar into any place, no matter what.
I would say just wrap the backing around the whole shower.
Yeah, you can do that too.
You might decide when you do need a grab bar. It could be at a 45 angle. It could be horizontal. Mm-hmm. It could be vertical.
Yep.
And so not having that crystal ball for the future, just go ahead and do the backing all over.
Exactly. Because it's such an easy add. It doesn't add a lot of cost in the beginning, but if you do find yourself needing or wanting a grab bar, you have to tear out your whole entire shower, all of the tile to add those supports where you need it. And that obviously has a huge cost to it. So add the grab bars in the construction phase.
Well, I want to add this because I have, every time I talk about bathrooms, I talk about grab bars. You don't necessarily need one now, but if you're 20 years old, you went skiing and you broke your leg, guess what? You're going to need a grab bar. If you broke an arm or if you're dizzy, it's mm-hmm. not just the elderly that we're talking about or the people that have physical challenges. You may have one and you don't even know it. So put those grab bars in and they look gorgeous anyway. They're not institutional looking, although you could get them, but the variety, and we're going to talk about the variety of grab bars later on, but mm-hmm. okay, what's next?
Definitely add a handheld shower. So there's a lot of different plumbing options in a shower now that I think can be really helpful for people who need a little extra help getting into the areas, you know, to keep themselves clean. And hygiene is such a huge, important piece for everybody, especially for those who have disabilities or just some physical need that makes it a little bit harder for them to take care of themselves. Adding in some of these extra tools really can help people, you know, stay as hygienic as possible. So the very baseline for that for me and all my projects are handheld showers. So having a handheld shower and then either, you know, a regular shower head or a rain shower head. If you are having a rain shower head, one that is mounted to the ceiling, I don't care who you are, you also need to have a handheld shower for the women who don't want to wash their hair every day or every day that they get in the shower. So that's a big complaint that I get from able-bodied and disabled people alike, is like they put in one rain shower and that's it. And it's like, obviously this was designed by a man.
Well, they must like to walk in the rain. You know,
exactly. Rain showers can be great, but you need to have an extra additional source of water.
Right. So all your water supply should be on separate controls, which your plumber would help you do that. But we do that all the time We don't just turn on one faucet and everything goes on at the same time. You've got to be able to control the rain head if you don't want that, the handheld, or a lot of people do a stationary shower head in addition. Because don't forget, we are designing showers for more than one person in the family. Not everybody has the luxury of having many showers for each individual person. So if a husband and wife are sharing a bathroom and one individual needs a couple of extra things, well, why not just use the same shower for the two people, and one likes the handheld and one doesn't? So that's exactly how we accommodate everybody.
Exactly. And those are easy adds too. Something else to go a little step further is you can also add body sprays. You can position those body sprays however you need to. There's a lot of different ones on the market with a lot of different features, but that could be a really nice add. So, because a lot of the times what I hear from people, especially with disabilities who exclusively use a handheld shower because it's really the only one that's available to them, is that they're cold constantly because they're not constantly in the stream of water. But adding a body spray can help that, because you can, you know, position those, like I said, anywhere you need to. And then I would say, like, the most luxurious out of all that is you could consider adding a steam shower as well. So if you're somebody who struggles with respiratory problems, your immune system is low, and you kind of are getting sick or colds or flus a lot, a steam shower could be really therapeutic in that way. They're also just very luxurious, and they're very relaxing, and they can have a lot of great properties, especially blended with, I know a lot of them do like essential oil blends and things like that, but it's definitely a luxury, I would say. I feel like people are surprised about how expensive they're not. They can obviously get very expensive, but if you're in the building phase and you're curious about it, I would definitely explore a steam shower option as well.
Yeah. Now, when you do have a steam shower, you do have to seal the shower. In other words, you can't have any openings above the shower doors or the glass. So you have to think about that. And I do want to say one thing about the body sprays. You can actually set them to be therapeutic, so that they're pulsating in maybe a certain spot, like your back or your arm or your neck or whatever feels tense. So those are actually really nice to have. Right.
Yeah.
Well, talking about all this wonderful stuff for your shower, I do want to talk about Studio 41. As everybody knows, I go to Studio 41 in Scottsdale as my source for all of my bath supplies and my shower, my kitchen supplies too. All the faucets you'd ever want to see are displayed over there. And they also have cabinetry, and they have the most wonderful cabinet handles. And so if you do live in the Scottsdale area, you can stop by, or if you don't, you can go on their website, shopstudio41, the number 41.com. They also have about 11 or 12 showrooms, you know, I should really count them, in Illinois, in the whole state, sprinkled with Studio 41 showrooms. They do provide everything you need for your project. So again, go on their website. It's a complete website, and the people there are just wonderful. Okay, so now we're finished with the shower. You know, we're never finished with the shower. There's always things that we can do. We should talk about the shower chairs, huh?
Yeah, I have a couple more points to make in the shower. So okay. First off, we, you know, starting with the base, it's important to choose a non-split flooring option. There's a lot of different beautiful shower floors, but having something with some grit so that you're reducing the amount of slips and falls in a shower and the entire bathroom really is very important. So making that a point when you're making your product selections or you're talking with your designer or your contractor, making sure that they understand the importance of that, because bathrooms are going to be the number one spot in your home where you're going to have risks of injury, just because there's transferring, there's water, they're slipping, they're sliding, and that's just can be a lot of hazards. And so mitigating that as much as possible with non-slip flooring options. Another way you can do that is by choosing a proper shower chair. So a lot of people think that people with paralysis or who transfer, who can't stand for long periods of time in a shower, they would use like a built-in tiled shower bench. And that actually can be a really dangerous place for someone to take a shower. One, they're really hard. Obviously it's tile. They're slippery, they're cold, they can have sharp angles, and they can be really uncomfortable. So people usually opt for shower chairs if you're needing to sit for an extended period of time, because those can be padded, customized, movable. And so finding the right shower chair is also a really important task. And that also can really determine where the size of your shower, the shape of your shower, and where you're putting all of your plumbing. So if you, in our designs, if you ever see a tiled bench, it's because we either had room or it's for somebody who doesn't need to sit permanently in the shower, but might just need, you know, a leg up to shave their legs or a little rest. They just want a little resting spot, but they, it's not their main source of where they're going to be taking their shower. So that's an important point that I always like to make because I think it's overlooked a lot.
Here's another point, because for every shower that I did, just, you know, a normal shower, we always put a bench in it. And it's normally the bench seat where you sit is slanted down towards the floor so that the water doesn't accumulate. And I had a customer slide off. Mm-hmm. And so they came up with the idea of, okay, we'll sit on a towel or a washcloth just so that that would eliminate them sliding. But when you think about it, you can't really sit on a shower bench that's built in, because if you lean back, your back is going to freeze, right? It's really cold. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to say, if you're, like you said, if you can't stand for a long period of time, those shower benches are great. I know we have one in our shower. You know, because of certain reasons that I won't go into, but they're great. And they come in different styles, with handles, without handles. So those are really, and you can also take it out of the shower if, you know, you only want to use, if one person wants to use the shower. So that's a good idea to do a, something that's not built in.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So those are my last points on the shower. We can move into other areas of the bathroom if you're ready, well, Nancy.
This might be a good time to talk about the different kinds of grab bars. And okay, we were talking before, you know, if you don't think you need a grab bar and you're in the shower and you get a little dizzy, do not grab onto your shower curtain.
No, that's probably the worst thing that you could do.
Yeah. Your shower curtain is not a safety thing. And several people, I don't know how many, because nobody's going to actually admit that they grabbed onto their shower curtain. But then they end up calling 911 because they fell, they can't get up, they broke a hip or something. So Megan and I usually can foresee the problems and try to solve them before they happen. And that's the whole reason why you want to get a designer who has experience in barrier-free or safety bathrooms, kitchens, the whole house, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So let's talk about vanities.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're another very important part of the bathroom. I think bathrooms are so important because every part of the bathroom is so crucial to everyday life. So for vanities, I always recommend having a roll under sink. There's so many ways to do this that can be, some can be concealed, some can be highlighted. That, you know, it's just obviously roll under, or you can conceal it with like different forms of cabinetry. So that's where I like to start. I know we talked a lot in the kitchen segment about countertop heights. And so for the bathroom, they're really customized as well. They can be anywhere from like 30 inches, which is on the short side, to 36 inches, which is on the tall side. Typically in bathrooms, you see between 32 and 34 inches. And I find that that standard is used most often. But if you're someone who uses a power chair, you might want that full 36 inches. If you're someone who's shorter or just sits lower to the ground in whatever assistive device you have, a 30 inch table height vanity might be the perfect route for you. So everything can be customized and should be.
I want to throw in the fact that the whole idea when we're designing, especially bathrooms, people say, I don't want it to look like it's in a hospital. So we try to make it as aesthetic as possible. and also usable for everybody in the family. Well, the idea of a floating sink, in other words, it's a countertop that has nothing underneath except a P-trap. And of course, you need bracing in the back wall. But those are in right now. Everybody loves the idea of a floating sink. So you can place that any number of inches above the finished floor that works for you, whether it's, like you said, Megan, 30, 36, 33, 32, whatever feels comfortable for you, that could go anywhere and you don't need a cabinet under it. Just make sure that it's stable and secured to the back wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then as far as plumbing fixtures, you mentioned, Nancy, P-traps. So P-traps are the plumbing that is, it's basically the drain from the sink to the wall. And they make decorative ones that are really cool. They make decorative faucet and plumbing lines that, you know, hook up to your sink. So they're meant to be exposed and they're meant to have an aesthetic value to them. I know we also talked in the kitchen series about technology a lot in the kitchen, but you can also carry that into the bathroom with smart faucets. So the same kind of technology exists in bathroom faucets. I will say there's a little bit less options than there are for kitchen faucets right now in bathrooms. The ones that I know that are doing it really well are Delta, but they still only have a few models. And Moen also has a couple. Where they're touchless or voice command, or they have the light indicator or any combination of faucet like that.
Oh, we talked about sinks having a side drain too.
Yeah. Sinks having a side drain. If that is better for, you know, your knee placement or your configuration of your sink or your vanity in general. And also another thing, if you're having, if you have limited upper extremity mobility, or maybe you have arthritis or anything that kind of limits you from getting all the way back to the back of your vanity to turn, to operate your faucets, you can also put faucets off to the side. We did that in a project recently. It was for a client with a young child who, you know, his arms weren't long enough to reach the back, and they, you know, he was going to have some degenerative mobility as well. So we made a feature out of it. We put the sink faucet or the sink drains off to the side with that as well. And it turned out really cool. So you want to make sure you're choosing the right product so that that kind of configuration makes sense, but it is an option.
Yeah, there's no rule. You know, somebody said, what do you mean you can put the, because I've done that several times. Either we didn't have room on the vanity or for reasons like you said, there's no rule that says, oh, my kitchen faucet or my bathroom faucet has to be on the back of the sink. Nope. You can. That's why we call it customizing, right?
Exactly.
That's the key.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, like you're saying, having someone who's worked through these challenges before can really help guide you into making those best decisions so that you're not having regrets later after your renovation.
Yeah.
Some other little things into a vanity, having a mirror that tilts or is angled. It's really hard to get a mirror low enough so that if somebody is sitting or someone who's a little shorter can see their full face into a mirror. But if you have a tilting mirror or a pivot mirror or one that is angled, that allows a person who is much lower to the ground for whatever reason to be able to see more of themselves in the mirror. It's just math, physics, geometry. So, but it works
and
out really well.
All the above, right?
All the above. And then as far as storage, you heard me say it before in all the other episodes that we did, Nancy, and you'll hear me say it for the rest of my life, storage with drawers. So opting for drawers, especially on the base cabinetry, is going to be much more usable than doors. And a trick is you can put outlets in those drawers. You can, you know, for your toothbrushes, your razors, your hair dryers, there's a lot of cool customization templates that you can put in them. You can even do vanity towers in your bathroom too. So let's say you do end up going with a roll under sink, but you're worried about losing that storage. Maybe there's an opportunity for a vanity tower or an extra linen tower or linen closet in your bathroom to kind of make up for that. And then I would also put, you know, outlets on there as well. So anytime in a bathroom that you, or kitchen really, but we're talking about bathrooms today, you could conceal an outlet in cabinetry. Absolutely go for that.
Well, now it's time to talk about Monogram. Now, Monogram has appliances, and you think, well, what does that have to do with the bathroom? Of course, it has to do with the kitchen. But believe it or not, you can also put a warming drawer, or you can put appliances in your bathroom. I've done a lot of morning rooms where it's the master suite, and then maybe they want a refrigerator, under-counter refrigerator, or a microwave in their bathroom. Not unheard of. I've been doing that for about 20 years, believe it or not. Monogram's got smart appliances too, and you can control them with your Smart HQ app, which you can put on your phone. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. But you can get the smart appliances that are always being updated by Monogram. So if you have any need for new appliances, or you're just curious about what's out there, go to monogram.com. They've got a great website that will show all of the items that they're introducing for this year. A lot of nice things, and we did talk about it. I will be having my rep for Monogram on my podcast. I think it's next week, but keep checking back and subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss any of these important things. So again, go to monogram.com to learn more about their appliances. Well, we're going to talk about one of the more important things in a bathroom, right? The toilet.
Yep. The okay. Fun toilet. Toilets can be more of a challenge than you would think. So starting off with toilet height, I think a lot of people assume that you need to have the ADA height toilet in a residential space for someone who has physical challenges. And that may be true, but it also might not be true. So ADA height toilet, anywhere between 17 and 19 inches, high off the ground, but they made them taller. But if you're a person who's going to use a commode chair over a toilet, you want to pay attention to the height of your actual toilet, because if you get a toilet that's too high, the components of your commode chair, you might have to make your commode chair so high that you cannot transfer onto it, or you're just sitting up extremely, extremely high on an actual throne. If that kind of describes you, like, oh yeah, it is much more comfortable and easier and safer for me to use a commode chair, you might want to stick with a standard or a chair comfort height toilet instead of the ADA one.
Yeah. And we talked about having the correct amount of inches on both sides of the toilet to make it easier for everybody. Of course, every city, every state has their own codes, but let's be practical. You've got to have space on both sides of the toilet. Although I have seen toilets where the toilet paper holder is like, you know, on the back 40. I don't know why they do this, but having enough space to maneuver around the toilet is important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of people. So really evaluating how you get on and off a toilet safely, the space that you need for that. If you ever think you're going to need assistance for somebody to help you get on and off the toilet is another great thing to consider, especially if you are someone who deals with a degenerative disease, or, you know, let's say you just had a surgery or a fall or an injury and you cannot be as independent as you once were for whatever reason. So we all need a little help sometimes, and making sure that you have room for that in the build stage is really, really important. And if that also, Nancy, means that your toilet paper holder is in a weird spot, I would just say get a freestanding toilet paper holder.
Yes.
Don't make your toilet fit for the toilet paper holder. They make right. portable freestanding ones, and they're really yes. pretty. So
okay, I agree with that. But let's yeah. talk about the bidets, you know, the washlet, which we know is made yes. by several. That name washlet is actually synonymous with who is it? Toto.
Toto.
Yeah.
Toto yeah, has but a lot of brands make
yeah,
bidets.
They do. So what is this all about? Do you want to explain that?
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, if you're having some physical challenges or, you know, going through something in your life, hygiene can be a thing that becomes harder over time. And a bidet can be one of those tools that really helps you with your hygiene practices. And so there's a lot of different kinds of bidets. They have a lot of different features. I recommend them to a lot of different, you know, almost everybody. I feel like they became really popular, especially since like the toilet paper shortage of 2020. I feel like ever since then, I see bidets everywhere and requests for them everywhere. So
also they became a big seller during COVID.
Yeah.
The washlet that I mentioned is an aftermarket. In other words, you can attach it to your existing toilet, but you do have to have a 110 outlet mm-hmm. on the back wall. So a lot of people have added that because the washlet is something that a lot of people like. Very interesting. And you could probably go on YouTube and look at a video on how they work. I think they're great.
Yeah, they are. They're great. And then another, of course, place to add grab bars would be around your toilet area. And you can customize the length, the width, the positioning of all of that as well. So adding the backing in for the grab bars in your water closet or wherever your toilet is important. It's important to know you should not or cannot add grab bars to pony walls or cabinetry. They're not stable enough for that. So grab bars do need to be on full walls with support behind them.
Good point. Good point. Well, we're almost running out of time. So I just want to quickly say, I know you had in your notes, heat lamps, pocket doors for the opening of a door. It's so much mm-hmm. nicer to have a pocket door. Don't forget, you can't put a grab bar on a wall that has a pocket door. That
no, you can't, you can't do that either.
One of my customers said, but why not? Well, because.
Because there's no support. So, you know, grab bars are there for a lot of torque and support, and you need to have it in the wall. Yeah. So, there's a few extras I like to talk about when bathrooms, having that 4 foot turn radius, whether it's in the shower or by the sink, maybe that's something you need around the toilet as well, but having some good room for you to be able to maneuver is important. Heat lamps, like I said, a lot of people struggle with temperature control or they're cold in the bathroom. So adding a heat lamp can be a really, really nice add into a bathroom as well. They make a lot of different kinds of those as well. Mm-hmm. And then this is I feel like bathrooms are a perfect, if you can, at least a perfect place for a pocket door or also a barn door. I know barn doors are getting a bad rap style wise these days, but I still love them. And I think there's a lot of different ways to do them. So they're not so farmhousey and they can be a really, really functional functional way to get privacy.
Yeah. I do want to mention one thing when Megan and I or anybody else who does bathrooms or kitchens for people with challenges, we do have to ask certain questions that seem like we're being nosy or we're, you know, cutting into your private, you know, knowledge of your do's and don'ts of your body. I worked with somebody and I had to say, okay, what can you do? How do you stand? And I'm sure, Megan, you do this all the time. We need to know what you're capable of so that we can design around that so that you can feel comfortable, safe, and independent in the space. So,
yes, exactly. I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. I want to thank you, Megan, for taking the time to do 3 podcasts for me. I think these are so important. And I think, you know, people should not ignore the fact that these are areas, especially the bathroom, that you really need to customize so that you can be safe. The last thing you want to do is fall in the bathroom. It's not a good thing. You want to be safe and you want to feel like, okay, I can go in there and I can do my thing. Megan, again, thank you. And I hope everybody enjoyed today's show and also the last 2 shows. I hope you got a lot of information for your project. If you're thinking of remodeling, please subscribe to these podcasts on the platform that you're using to listen to these podcasts. And don't forget to share them with your friends. You'd be surprised how many people really need to know about this information. They don't know where to find it, and we try to cover everything. These are educational podcasts. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website, nancyhugo.com. And if you have any questions for me or for Megan about these subjects of barrier-free designs or being independent in your home, please email me at nancy@nancyhugo.com. Megan, thank you again. I know I'll be seeing you around. And everybody, stay safe and have a great day. And I understand, I underline that, stay safe. Thanks again, Megan. See you.
Thank you, Nancy. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.